The text for the sermon is the Bible reading which you just heard. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty and gracious God, for life and for faith, and we pray now that your Holy Spirit will help us, that we can understand the meaning of your love for us, that we can grow in our faith relationship to you and in our love for one another. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Routine news in the evening, and my wife turns it rather loud, and she says, I say, turn it down. Oh, she said, this is really something. I hadn't heard the news that day. This was Littleton, Colorado. Oh, she says, I said, they learned that in journalism school. If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't read, and they exaggerate all of these things, and they always finding, well, then when I listened to it, it wasn't exaggerated. In fact, they didn't even go in and try to get the details how bad it really was. And then it got close to home. I discovered that we lived in a small subdivision where Claybold's family lived. My one child went to school with his brother, and his mother went to school there in that small place, and there were about 16,000 people. So that got close to home. And then knowing that his great-grandfather had worked hard, had saved, and was giving a lot to help charity, the community building was named after him. And then that was a descent in love, as in the Ephesian situation is described here. You get a decline in the level of love till it gets to Claybold, who is so typical of the philosophy of hatred, revenge, and violence. Add to that bigotry and the racism and the neo-Nazism that was coming close to home. And I was concerned about this decline also in love. And so the letter to the Ephesians. But how do you overcome? That's quite a challenge, isn't it? To overcome all of these obstacles. I asked a leading narcotics detective, where I worked nights here in Fort Wayne. He said, oh, this is going to be difficult. It's like a big ship, and it's slow to turn around. That was the biblical word, Pharaoh. Turn around. Conversion. Metanoia. That's the only answer. Conversion. And that's what we're about. To see this turned around, the decline of levels of love. And first of all, it's applied to the marriage. How do we know? What was the problem there with this decline in love? Well, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians also. And both Paul and John spent a lot of time there. Now, they knew what the situation was. It was in the personal relationships of man and wife. Wives, love, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We still use those old Ephesian vows when we get married. And God loves us in our marriages. I noticed coming through the bedroom, the Valentine card from my wife, which I still have. It's a white card, and across the top it says, God has blessed our love. So that's personal. That's getting close to home, too. And we will be celebrating next 25th of next month our 50th wedding anniversary. So we look for that help of God in our marriages. And there's need of repentance and forgiveness also. I'm thinking, for example, Gabriela Mistral won the Nobel Prize with a poem on repentance and forgiveness. The words here. Remember that high level of love? Repent, return to it. And she writes, her fiancé had taken his own life. So this is close to home for her. The words I spoke in haste. Give them back. Give them back, or love will go to waste. We have wilted all the flowers. We have soured all the wine. The words I spoke in haste. Give them back, or love will go to waste. But there is repentance and forgiveness. And now the flowers can bloom again. And we can drink the sweetened wine. The words I spoke in haste, give them back, or love will go to waste. Repent and return to that high level of love, or I will take the lampstand from you. I'll take the very being, existence of your church from you. That's what that meant. So we apply that to our marriages. And we see that repentance and forgiveness and renewal is needed. But it's also intergenerational. Notice, it was the great-grandson that reversed the high level of charity of his great-grandfather in the decline of love to a lower level. And we see this happening, that intergenerationally, I'm learning too in this process. Now I have a little granddaughter. Annie was two and a half years old. And I start teaching her. We have a 10-volume Maxwell Bible story, colored pictures, you know. And I say, see, Annie, that's baby. You're a baby. See, baby, baby. That's baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. Yeah, that's okay. That's Mother Mary, you see. Among these ladies, the woman with the blue cover over her head, that blue, Mother Mary. So, the next night, open it up to the lesson. Where's baby Jesus? Baby Jesus. Where's Mother Mary? Mother Mary, blue. So then, recently she came to for Easter vacation, and I sang her to sleep by singing Jesus Loves Me. So I'm rocking her and Jesus loves me. You know, well, I go over and over. That takes quite a while. You know, all the cousins playing around, making noise. Long time for Annie to go to sleep. So then I when she's asleep, my son, her father takes her and puts her in the bed. The next forenoon, she comes into the living room and her father says to her, sing for Grandpa. She had memorized the words to Jesus Loves Me and sang the whole song. And then we sang it as a duet. Tuesday of this week, she calls up. I said, Mary, or Annie, sing Jesus Loves Me. We sing it loudly over the telephone, long distance, 600 miles away. So, intergenerationally, then I go to Easter service over here. Church is filled. We're back at that wall, you know, in its steel chairs section. And really, it wasn't getting her attention, that church service. And she, therefore, is playing with her little brother in front and making noise. I said, no, Annie, shh, the people are praying. Be quiet, shh, Annie. And she starts to cry loudly, and the father has to take her to the nursery. This is worse than ever. And I don't know what happened there, but he gave her a pack of sugar mint gum. And that was healing and sort of held the thing together, and she came back in. But she's now wondering, you know, does Grandpa really, if Jesus loves me, does Grandpa really love me? It looks like he hated me the way he looked at me. And then she hands me a stick of sugar mint gum. And I smile, as you know, Jesus loves us, Annie. We love you, Annie. And so intergenerationally, I'm learning how that love is needed, even though you're not using the words. You can see it in the face or the gestures, the non-verbal communication. And finally, as in Fiddler on the Roof, you know, the girls want to marry whom they want to marry. And the father wants it. Your papa says, you marry the butcher. He makes more money. No, I'm marrying the tailor. And then finally, mama says she's marrying the tailor. Tailor gets a treadle sewing machine, makes just as much money as the butcher anyway. And finally it gets down to the child. She's going to marry a Christian, not in the synagogue, but in a Christian. Oh, this is like the end of the world. What are you doing that? Because we love one another and we're going to live together forever. And that adds another dimension. Namely, that love is so precious that you want to be together in heaven. And that gets to the end of this text for today. You have that expressed in other ways. We think, for example, I'm thinking of the one that's the worst, and journalists don't have to add to the details there either. The two little Smith kids are drowned by the mother while she's intoxicated. They're going down the ramp, and she's going to go down in the water with them. But she pulls the emergency brake, gets out, then starts again, pulls the emergency brake, gets out, and the little children know this is non-being. If faith is real, as in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he said, faith overcomes in relationship to God because it's real, like the hypostasis of the substance of God, the being itself, the essence of God in the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of the human divine natures of Jesus. The same way with faith. Faith is the substance of that knowledge. It's real. And it's real. And here, that's real too. That's non-being for those children. And the older one cries out, get us out of these safety belts. That's non-being down there in his thoughts and feelings. She lets it roll with him into the water. My God, what have I done? And then the father is distraught, and 32,000 pieces of mail comes, including a minister whose two sons drowned. One went in deep water, the other one went in to save him and drowned too, and the ministers swam out there, they pulled him back and saved him. He writes to this distraught, sorrowing father, my two sons drowned also, and now they're in heaven. We have that faith that overcomes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. And as the text says, the one who overcomes will eat of the fruit of the tree of life in the garden of God, the paradise of God. Amen.